This is the ICANN 55 SSAC public meeting on March 10th, 2016 at 0800 WET hours in the Amethyst Room.
So we are a minute over the hour. Good morning, everyone. So this is the... Is everything okay? Good? No, I forgot to ask you if everything is okay. As it's starting the meeting, that's okay with you. Okay, good. So let's start the meeting. ESSAC at ICANN 55, open meeting. And an activities update. I'm happy to see non-ESSAC members. It's welcome back. it almost feels like we should start as have some sort of honorary ESSAC sort of fan club or something. I don't know.
Groupies.
We come up with something. So there are a couple of things we would like to present here and talk about. And the current status of ESSAC is that we have had 80 publications since 2002. The publications could be all different kind of things, like reports, advisories, comments, letters. Some things are longer, some things are shorter. We decided some time ago to start to number everything that we publish as formal, where we make formal publications, we put a number on them. Greg, sit by the table, please. I get so nervous when someone is behind my back. I've seen too many Western movies, and I know what's happening when you have someone behind you. We have today 30 members. It has shrunk a little bit. They are appointed by the ICANN board. And regarding expertise, we try to have all different kind of expertise that we need to be able to write the advisories that we are writing. ICANN do have mission and core values of various kinds, but these two specific ones are the ones where we in ESSAC sort of connect to. So the first one, to ensure the stable and secure operation of the Internet's unique identifier systems. And the second one, preserving and enhancing the operation stability, reliability, security, and global interoperability of the Internet. So when we are investigating something, we are looking at the issues sort of framed by these two mission statements. They also match the charter of ESSAC, which was on the slide before this one up to the right, which is advise ICANN community on board on matters and board on matters relating to the security and integrity of the Internet's naming and address allocation systems. So if we compare that with the discussion in other advisory committees, welcome. With other advisory committees, we see it as being very important that what we are doing, we form a work party, we do some research and writing, we review and approve and decide to actually publish something, then we do the actual publication. And if it is the case that the publication include advice to the ICANN board, then we are submitting the advice to the board. The board acknowledges and studies the advice, take formal action on the advice, which can be one of four things. It could either to launch a policy development process. It could be a request to staff to implement it with the normal public consultation. It could be a dissemination of advice to affected parties, other standards organizations and the like. Or the board can choose a different solution and explain why they did not follow the advice. And that has happened a couple of times. So for us, it's pretty important that now when we're going into a situation where ICANN is going to rewrite its bylaws, that the mission and core values actually are still there for ICANN, that our charter matches that subset of the mission and core values of ICANN, and that our advice when we are producing some advice to the board, that the board must take advice into account. So that is sort of the dotted line of where we see that we fit in the ecosystem. We will come back to what work part is, what we're doing at the moment, and also the publications that we have that we have published recently. What we are working on is the outreach, and we are working with the comms team here at ICANN, and working on producing videos. We are working with ALAC to come up with a better way of explaining what's in the advisories, including modern things like video in these intertube things and social media and whatever that is. Yeah, a little bit difficult for us old farts. But anyways, the young generation actually like what we have done so far, but we can do more. What we are currently looking at, which is kind of interesting, is that the comms team is actually now helping us for every advisory to try to have a discussion at the time of publication, and discussion with us where we try to explain who we would like to reach. And they then tell us, okay, you want to reach these parties? In that case, you should probably use these channels, etc. And that is very helpful for us because we don't know this stuff. So Duncan and his team are really, really good. And I would also, just because you and ISOC are here, I would like to thank you also for the good cooperation regarding the DNSSEC workshop and other things we're doing together. And I think with the work that we're doing with the comms team, there might be very well other things that we can do together regarding outreach of our material.
Where you should explain for the newcomers here that you is Dan York, because you were looking at me, but the people who are remote or others may not know that.
It's true. And but on the other hand, I'm actually looking at everyone in the room. So it's sort of the global you. In this specific case, when I'm thanking ISOC, I'm talking to you, Dan, and also Greg is also helping, I know that, even though he's trying to sit in the shadow and not be on the table. I can also mention that I'm also personally happy for all the help that Greg has done in the work of the ICG regarding communication around the CCWG and ICG work. So thank you very much, Greg. So first question, is there any overarching questions on ESSEC? Might be people that have been here for a while that have come up with new things, people that have not met with us. Dan, please.
Dan York, your groupies would just like to compliment you on the upgrade to the graphics in this latest presentation deck. This is a remarkable change, so thank you on that. It does explain things better.
Thank you very much. I think, Julie, how many meetings have we tried this now? It's a third, right? Yeah, so I think this is we have used these and refined them for about a year, and we actually think they work pretty fine. The only thing that is a little bit negative is, of course, that if you look at it on a projector like this, it's a little bit hard to read, at least for me, from this distance. But if you look at this, the actual slide deck, it actually looks pretty good. So thank you. Feedback is always good. So, current work. When ESSEC do work, we create something that we call a work party. And members of the work party are ESSEC members, and then they can choose to have external invited experts of various kinds. We currently have three work parties on namespace-related issues, which is talking a little bit more in general of the namespace that we're using for, among other things, the domain name system. We have one namespace on auction proceeds, and the reason why we have that is because we have appointed two ESSEC members to participate in the ICANN work discussion, the auction proceeds, and we need the way ESSEC operates. It's important for ESSEC to have a support mechanism for these people to be able to come back to ESSEC to check whether ESSEC do have a specific view on certain things. IDN harmonization is another work party that we are running that is looking at the various IDN-related activities in ICANN and in other related places in the internet ecosystem, specifically the IETF and Unicode Consortium, and also ISO regarding country codes. And we're looking at the potential, whether there are any potential security and stability implications with the lack of or functioning or non-functioning harmonization between the various processes. ICANN staff has also been doing some research in this area that was presented at technical experts group, thank you, where lots of different organizations have members, and ICANN staff presented what they have been doing so far there. Then we have three ongoing work parties. The first one are the DNSSEC sessions that I just mentioned, and York is helping with that. We have one for newcomers and one longer, deeper technical. We have one work party on board advice tracking that makes sure that we don't drop any balls between us and ICANN staff when we have passed advice, which is to keep track of the box to the right here. And then the last work party that we have is the membership committee, where Jim, to my left, vice chair of ESSAC, is the chair of that committee. The membership committee consists of me as chair of ESSAC, Ramohan liaison to ICANN board, and Jim Galvin, vice chair. The three of us are non-voting members of the membership committee, and then we have five ESSAC members, which are voting members of the membership committee, which is taking care of the review process of new ESSAC members, new potential new ESSAC members, and also review of ESSAC members when their term is expiring. ESSAC members are appointed on 3-year terms. ICANN staff, if it is the case that they want to be on the ESSAC mailing list, they are reviewed yearly, but reviewed according to the same criteria as other ESSAC members, although they are ICANN staff and participate, but we have that review process for everyone that is on the ESSAC mailing list. And then, of course, we have support staff as well, and we should not mix those up. We have support staff, and then we have ICANN staff that participate, for example, from the security team. And Patrick. Thank you. The future milestones, we have this quarter produced 4 advisories, and you see them there on the left, 77, 78, 79, and 80. The work parties we have now are pretty new. We don't envision be able to produce any result from those more than outreach and explaining where we are. We don't think that we will be able to produce much before third quarter of 2016, where we're looking forward to have DNSSEC workshop in the new Plan B meeting. It will be a slightly different structure of the workshops, just because of the plan of the new meeting plan, but there will be workshops for DNSSEC at ICANN 56 unless things change drastically. We do think that both namespace and IDN harmonization might have something to say at that point in time, and specifically the IDN thing might actually be done if we are lucky. Since ICANN 54, we published quite a large number of publications. I thought that at first the latest ones were the more interesting one, but when meeting with the fellows, I also mentioned SAC 75 that you see, the second last bullet there. And at the fellows meeting, that was actually the one that they asked the most questions about, so let me bring that to this group's attention as well. We got a liaison from ITUD, and I think that is the first time we got a liaison from ITU directly to ESSAC. I cannot remember that we have got anyone before that. It might be the case that IETF people actually nudged them and suggested that something should come over to us. So I don't know how it happened, because they basically should not know that we exist, because we have not done much outreach in that direction. But anyways, we got the liaison. We're very happy with that. The liaison was a suggestion. I think the original filing was from Togo that suggested to ITUD that they would help establishing CAs in developing countries. And we looked at that and came to the conclusion that that might not be the best way of increasing security and stability in developing countries. It's probably better to help them to use already existing CAs and to look at DAIN and deploy DNSSEC instead. That created the fellows meeting kind of interesting discussion, because it seems to be the case that at least three different examples were brought up to my attention immediately, where countries explicitly do create CAs for their country and require everyone to use their CA because they are blocking TLS connections and do man-in-the-middle things. And specifically one participant at the fellows meeting pointed out to me that this is currently happening in Kazakhstan, and the government of Kazakhstan is trying to get Google and other browser manufacturers to include their CA in the trust chain in the browser, and these manufacturers is saying no. But there is a pressure going on there, and it was a direct request to ESSEC to investigate whether or not we could say anything about how bad idea that was, like an extension to SAC 75. But I encouraged the person to read SAC 75 and come back. But there were a couple of other persons coming as well asking similar things. So SAC 75 seemed to be more interesting to at least some parts of the community than what we expected, which is kind of interesting. Dan?
Dan York, Internet Society. Out of curiosity, do you is ICANN able to provide any statistics around the downloads of these documents or visits to the pages? I'd be curious to know, to your point, which of these are the more widely read?
Steve?
Thank you, Dan, for that question. This is Steve, the ESSEC support staff. We've done exercise in the past, but as an overall exercise, looking at the kind of the consumption and the effectiveness of ESSEC publications a few years back, and we could certainly take an effort again looking at the download statistics, because the website has been revamped. Thanks.
Yeah, I work in the Internet Society communications team, and I'm a Google Analytics geek and some of that kind of stuff. So it just occurred to me that, to your point of trying to understand, Patrick, which of these are getting more interest than others, that could be one tool that could be used just to see, you know, what are they doing. Anyway, good to know it's there.
Yes, personally, I don't have access to sort of Google Analytics for the webpage of ICANN, of these publication of ours. I am, on the other end, the one that posts, just for your information, I am the one that posts notifications on the ESSEC page in Facebook. And I've been quite careful of announcing on the ESSEC webpage publications the same way, so that then when I look at the analytics inside Facebook, which is actually kind of interesting, it is possible to sort of then try to draw some conclusions. Now I can see, for example, that when there are sort of kind of high interest from the city of Falkenberg in Sweden, it's probably my parents, which means that the number of active people on the ESSEC webpage is pretty low, so I can actually derive who it is. But still, there are if it is the case, but it's kind of still interesting to look at these kind of numbers, regardless of what kind of numbers they are. Yeah, Rom.
Steve, isn't it true? A while ago, you were also tracking the number of citations of the these reports and using that as a kind of a proxy for usability or usage of these reports.
Yes, Rom. Yeah. So. That was another metrics we use, where we primarily use Google and the Google Scholar to see how many citations to ESSEC advisories. I mean, what we find that is something not surprising. Older advisories see more hit. Advisories, for example, SAC 004 and the DDoS ones, those targeting operators, guidance to registries get more uptake in terms of download, but that doesn't usually translate, we wouldn't be able to tell, you know, who really download those. So that's just a limited one piece of the measurement.
So what kind of, do you know, Steve, what kind of analytics system is run on the web page itself, like Google Analytics? Do you know that?
I don't. For the old site, it's not Google Analytics. For the new site, I will check out.
Yeah, thank you. I think the other, let's move on because we will look at the some of the other, the later reports one by one. So if we go backwards, SAC 80, approval of the CZWG accountability supplemental final proposal of Workstream 1 recommendations. As I pointed out the other day, it's a very long title, and it's very, very long, even though it includes two acronyms. So we kind of it would be interesting to actually write the whole thing out with, like, that would be kind of silly. So this is, I guess, not the overview, but the whole report. Almost. Yeah, there's some header and footer, but otherwise I think this is the whole report. But of course, the story behind something that is so short is, of course, like, you have to work. The shorter you write, the harder the work is, right? So first of all, I would like to once again thank Lyman and Julie for all the hard work in CZWG to ensure that we reach this point in time. Thank you very much. The method that we used was that we, very, very early when this project started, we thought there would be confusion in the community of what means by IANA function. After a while, we discovered that we were absolutely right there. Thanks to Russ Mundy and the ESSAC member, we wrote, first of all, two very important documents. One that describes, from our perspective, what IANA is doing. And the second document was what the IANA contract with NTA covers. And the reason why we wrote both of those was to give the ability for the community to compare those two documents and see that they did not cover the same, at least the same things. I pointed this out to people like yesterday, and people were still surprised. Okay. Then we wrote a third document where we pointed out from an ESSAC perspective, the pitfalls were and what would be very important for the community to look at. Based on those three documents, ESSAC have then reviewed the various documents from the CZWG. We also participated, thanks to Robert and Jaap, thank you very much, participated in the CWG work in parallel. And we could, based on those documents and the early work, create a list of issues, or one could call it red lines, where we in ESSAC decided on what line should never be passed by the CZWG proposal. After we had done all of that work, that's the hard work. And then Julian Lyman, over time, has checked that the CZWG, whatever they're doing, have not passed those red lines, and when they come close, they get back to ESSAC and sort of validated with ESSAC. Is it correct, this interpretation of ours? And at the end of the day, this is the final result from our perspective. So the complete view of ESSAC is, of course, is not only this, but sort of four or five other documents. Any questions? Next document. ESSAC advisory on the changing nature of IPv4 address semantics. And I don't see Jeff is not here, no? Anyone that would like to speak to this? Otherwise, I'll do that as well. But if someone would like to, okay, I'll do this as well. Rom, do you want to?
This is what you get paid the big bucks for.
I know. That's why I was alone on the 6:30 bus from Pullman 3 days in a row. I could sleep in today. So in this advisory, ESSA considers the changing role of IPv4 addresses caused by the increased scarcity, which of course is nothing new. Like that we run out of IPv4 addresses is nothing new to us. But in this advisory, we specifically looked a little bit more carefully on the fact that an IPv4 address does not necessarily identify an endpoint anymore, and the implications of that. And we try to be a little bit more pointy, because it seems to be the case that some people don't really understand what this implies. For example, if you have carrier grade NAT and other kind of things, in that case, of course, just the IPv4 address is not just the endpoint of the communication. It's also the case that, and we also say explicitly that just because of that, an IPv4 address alone may not be sufficient to correlate internet activity observations with an endpoint. You need to have the full flow identifier. So the specific recommendations we give is similar to what many others have been saying, including ISOC through the work that Dan York and others are doing with the Deploy 360 program. The network operator should accelerate plans to deploy IPv6 and consider the consequences of deploying IPv4 continuation technologies such as NAT or other things prior to deployment. And that device manufacturers should accelerate plans to support IPv6 as well as or better than they currently support IPv4. And I think that's it. Anyone that would like to say anything, ask? Dan?
Dan York, Internet Society. I thought this was an interesting document. I would just comment, though, that it was talked a lot about NAT and the fact that you can't correlate an endpoint. What I think is interesting to think about, too, and this is a point Jeff Houston's been making in a couple of the other commentaries and things he's been doing, is that there's also a challenge in not only are the kind of the endpoints, the user endpoints disappearing behind NATs, but the server endpoints are disappearing behind CDNs and overlay networks like that. And so there is the correlation is happening on both sides. I mean, this is talking about endpoints, and so endpoint could be taken generically. But the main text of it was talking about NATs, and really, in my mind, it was looking at it from the kind of the client endpoint. But I would also think that we should be aware that for the law enforcement and others who are looking at that kind of thing, the server endpoints are disappearing as well because of the global load balancing CDNs and the other pieces as well that are no longer allowing you to directly have a DNS record that connects to a specific point, a server. That's gone. So just another little point on that. And
thank
Wendy.
You. Thank you very much. Wendy?
Wendy Seltzer. Looking at the document and its reference to sort of forensic evidence, I wonder if you thought about adding a footnote of other reasons that the IPv4 address may not be a unique identifier for forensic purposes, things like Tor, for example.
I'm looking at Benedict. You, Benedict, do you want any comments on that? Do you want to comment on that? You don't have to. I'm just checking.
I think sensible law enforcement agencies acknowledged long ago that was a mere breadcrumb in the clue trail. But perhaps that's not the method. The message hasn't percolated through, and we'd be delighted for your help in spreading that message.
That was amazingly politically correct to be 8:15 in the morning. Okay, you win. Rom?
So, Patrick, it seems to me that perhaps a path forward, given that ESSAC has already published this report, and formally there is no next thing for ESSAC to do here, but we're getting, you know, feedback and other things, that we should look at how we can collaborate with you know, folks from the W3C, folks from ISOC, et cetera, to take the contents of this report and evolve it to get the new feedback, because we don't have a formal mechanism to do that. But in this case, it seems very useful and an important thing for us to do. The second point I wanted to make was perhaps this should be one of the candidate items. If there is an IGF coming up, this perhaps is a candidate item for a topic at the IGF.
I also think, this is Patrick Feldstrom again, I also think that given the good connection and work we have been doing with the law enforcement that now is active in GAC, we should maybe reach out to that specific subgroup and ask them whether there is anything that we could help with there. For example, maybe trying to see whether there should be some kind of specific communication in that direction as well to help them in their work. Benedict?
I attended the Public Safety Working Group yesterday and made exactly that offer and explained, as I've now learned from you, that they can ask us questions and we can see if we can answer those.
Mark?
The same question came up yesterday in the Privacy Working Group in the morning, where the question was asked by the Hungarian data privacy representative, what are the privacy rights of an IP address? So they're still thinking that IP addresses identify individuals rather than endpoints in the more general sense.
Benedict?
It may suit privacy advocates to treat an IP address as personally identifiable information.
Well, pardon me.
The follow-up question was, does that mean, Mark?
So it may be that we would suggest they rephrase that as, what are the privacy rights of an IP address and port number, for example, rather than just an IP address, because port numbers may end up being personally identifiable information as well.
Dan, by the way, let me just say that if I don't see you down there when you're waving, it's because it's very, very bright light behind you. So it's like bright light, exactly. I mean, I will try to not pour water on you, but otherwise, Dan.
It's part of the deliberate anonymity set down here that we all look like the same person.
With three heads, you're like the knights that say knee.
That's your role with the robe, I think.
So, Wendy, please.
Sorry, yes, Wendy Seltzer. Just to note, I mean, in the privacy conversation, we're often talking about what can be inferred from information gathered. So, even although the IP address is not always uniquely identifying of an individual, when it can be, its correlation with other information in the stream can be identifying, and so